In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Good shooting, John. Right on target.
Stan, I love to put the torpedo in the belly of the Beagle. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted because, hey, laughing is good for the soul.
It's good medicine. And we're lightheaded, and that goes along with this. We like to look at these serious issues because we feel these are questions that people are answering. Where do we come from? And where are we going?
And we take anything as fair game when it comes into that discussion because the creator of all things, I guess, left footprints and fingerprints all over the place for us to discover who he is. And today, we want to look at the origin of the week.
Oh, yes. Footprints in time, so to speak. Yeah. Where did the week come from? How's your week been, John?
Yeah, why? Well, my week has been kind of crazy, Stan. Kind of 24/7-ish. All work and no play and no rest, almost.
Ah, no rest? Now, I don't think that's part of what we're going to be talking about, is it? We want to talk about rest.
Well, we did have rest, but I also kind of, as a minister of the gospel, I did preach, so I did work a little bit technically, I suppose, on a day I should have been resting a little more.
Preachers don't work. Come on, they just talk.
Only a half hour a week. You know? No. What we want to talk about is where does this 7-day, not just the week itself, because when we talk about it today, there are many weeks of different cultures, but where did the 7-day week, as in 24/7, come from, is the question we want to ask.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you think about it, a day is based on a rotation of the earth, a revolution of the earth, the year is based on a rotation around the sun of the planet earth. I mean, it seems like
and the month deals with the moon.
Rotating around the planet Earth. And you think about it, all these things seem to have natural origins, something that's in nature that we observe. But there's nothing that takes 7 days, is there?
No. Well, actually, Stan, when you get into the history of it, there are three lines of evidence that people have proposed for the origin of our current pretty much worldwide 7-day cycle, because the week now has been pretty much the 7-day week is almost universal. And universal, in the world today, among
nations,
all cultures and
nations.
Nations
accepting it, right.
Yeah. And when you look at that, the three origins that are given, or the three reasons for the week, the evidences are traced through science, or in this case, what they call chronobiology.
Chronobiology.
And then the other ones are traced through astrology, not astronomy, astrology.
Yes.
Or the biblical origin of creation, the Hebrew scriptures.
Okay.
And those are the three
You're going to differentiate these, give us some ideas as to what these different supposed origins are?
Maybe. Depends
well,
on how nice you are to me.
We're going to have to fill up some airtime here, John, if you don't do that. Come
okay,
on.
Okay. No. No, the point that I guess we should start with the one that is the one that's being touted today by our scientific community, and that's the area of chronobiology.
Chronobiology,
and chrono, of course, is the Greek word for time, and bios is life, and life in time, and how does life acquire time, or the reckoning of time? It's kind of a weird thought in itself, you know. Mm-hmm. And really, when you think about it, we mark time in many ways. Like you had already mentioned earlier, we mark weeks and days, and we mark, actually, we don't so much mark digital time and numbers as much as we mark events.
Okay.
As people, we like to think of anniversaries, or like you can say, where were you on 9/11? Where were you, Stan, on 9/11?
I was in the beautiful area known as Yellowstone National Park. I was there with a group of kids. Our school was there. I was talking a little bit about geology. We're in this beautiful natural place, and I just happened to hear it on the car radio, and we went over to the lodge. And of all places to see this kind of terrible scenes, you know, unfolding, we were in the most beautiful place, one of the most beautiful places on God's earth.
Yeah, and you're watching this.
Yeah, quite a difficult thing to... But you're right. We think of events, don't we?
Yeah, World War II, most people can know where they were when they heard the story of Pearl Harbor. Or for some of us in the baby boomers, we knew where we were when John F. Kennedy was shot. I was in first grade, Sister Agnes Marie's class, and I was really kind of mad because we had to stop and pray for our president. Now, that shouldn't – I was – confess that I was a selfish boy.
I hope you've lost that anger about
I was a
praying.
First grader. Okay. It wasn't about praying. It was about I wanted to get out of school, and it was right near the end of school time that we found out.
And so
before,
schedule.
We had to stay after school for about 5 or 10 minutes to pray. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to get outside and play, not pray.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of vaguely knew who the president was. The nun was real serious because we were a Catholic school, mm-hmm. And he was a Catholic, and so it made even a bigger difference. But
of
the
course.
Point, we measure events. But where does a week come from?
Where does a week come from?
And so when you study...
Where does it go?
But okay. Where does time go? But the chronobiologists, biologists want to say, the biologists who study, they get it from rhythms in our body. You know, there are certain monthly rhythms, yearly rhythms, and what they want to say is circassepian rhythms. That's a 7-day biological rhythm.
Now, I'm a white guy. I didn't think I had rhythm. You're saying I've got rhythm?
Yeah, okay. You got a little bit, yeah. Not much. No, the point is that there's certain biological functions in nature and in our own human nature that seem to function on approximately a 7-day cycle. Your resistance to an organ transplant is about a week into it's the greatest day, a chance for rejecting an organ transplant.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I wonder do they time it then? What's your best chances kind of thing?
Well, no, I think they just observe when people have rejected organs. They've noticed after a study of organ rejection, day 7 is the most crucial day just about around
really?
That time.
Okay.
Give or take a few hours of that.
Is there anything else?
They have in biology, there's a mermaid wine glass, which is a little algae that grows in the sea that seems to function on a 7-day cycle.
Approximately.
Algae. Okay. They say it's about. And so
it makes me think they've got other things to discover in this.
But there's also other. We also have daily rhythms and other things.
Rhythms?
And
uh-huh.
Chronobiology is not biorhythms. It's not you go look up in the newspaper, your biorhythm for the day is. No, it's not like a horoscope.
Okay.
It's actual physiology going on in your life. And so they want to assume
ebbs and flows, kind of.
But here's the problem with their logic. We also have many other rhythms that function on different cycles of longer or shorter duration, you know, monthly cycles and other cycles that we have, daily cycles.
Okay.
So why did the week come about? And also, you have to study it from that, though they've discovered these 7-day rhythms, how can you say that was the cause for our week?
Right. How could some Neanderthal or something like that kind of come up with a sense of, you know, I'm on sort of a 7-day cycle here in my... In this part of my biology and my organ transplant, resistance or, I think I'll start setting time aside by 7-day.
I wanted to see the hospital where the organ transplant of Neanderthals took place. The whole point is that you made a good point there, Stan. When you study history, if that is true and that the week was biologically determined, you'd expect to find many places in history where the 7-day or near 7-day cycle, a 7-day cycle would spring up.
Yeah.
And what you find in history is none of that.
None of that.
No. Matter of fact, when you study history, there are 5-day weeks, 6-day weeks, 3-day weeks, 8-day weeks. There's 10-day weeks.
Many 10-day weeks.
Because you have 10 digits,
around.
You know.
Yeah, okay.
But you never find a 7-day week among many cultures except one what seemingly small and significant nomadic tribe in the Middle East.
Okay.
Which we'll get to later. The Hebrews, Israel.
Hebrews, okay.
But so history doesn't support it. And when you use just the anecdotal evidence of one particular human rhythm and say the week developed from that, it's a little stretch. It's a large stretch of logic in the imagination.
Okay, well, now, if that's one way, the other one that's not the biblical or the Hebrew way is the astrology. How are we? Where did that come
from? There is a link to astrology and our current 7-day week. But the link has nothing to do with the number of days as it does the names of the days.
Oh, around the days are named after
astrological,
you know, planets and things.
And basically what you had, this goes back to about 600 BC, the ancient Chaldeans or Babylonians, who are the fathers of our modern astrology, and actually ancient astrology, and they trace what they had known at the time were the Seven Wanderers. And the Seven Wanderers...
Seven Wanderers sounds like a singing group.
Yeah, I know. Good punk rock band. No, the point of the Seven Wanderers, basically you have the sun and the moon, and then you have Mercury, and you have Venus, and you have Mars, and you have Jupiter, and you have Saturn. And these were the seven bodies of the celestial heavens that they could see with the naked eye, basically. Mm-hmm. And because they didn't they wandered compared to the rest of the constellations around them.
Okay.
They would attribute powers, and each of them
they're
governed.
Gods or something.
They became gods, and they became
mm-hmm.
governing powers for our daily life. And even during the day, the seven wanderers, the god of Saturn, who was a seventh-day wanderer or a yeah. first-day wanderer mm-hmm. Type power, would even also have maybe a certain time of day, any mm-hmm. given day, also be influencing you too.
Okay.
But basically, all we know is that when you combine ancient astrology, not astronomy, astrology, mm-hmm. that got also changed a little bit by Nordic types of pagan religion
yeah, sure.
as well. Because
right.
like Freya Free for yeah. Friday,
Thor
for Thursday. Mm-hmm. But it Walden. Still was their, it was mm-hmm. still their astrological kind of link, their pagan goddess or god link, which again gives us our names.
But that only gives the names. That doesn't necessarily set the seven, unless you want to go with the seven wanderers theme.
But the seven wanderers weren't always seven. Sometimes they
yes.
were five.
Okay.
And so, or
so
others.
So that's not a consistent origin.
However, the seven does come into Babylonian culture
okay.
biblically
okay.
during the time of a prophet named Daniel.
Ah.
When Daniel becomes a prophet, and
yes.
as he becomes elevates to one of the wise men and leader over the wise
right.
men of Babylon,
right.
when you read your Bibles,
Nebuchadnezzar, right?
Yeah, when you study Nebuchadnezzar's stories,
mm-hmm.
when God miraculously works through Daniel,
mm-hmm.
Nebuchadnezzar gives orders for everybody to start worshiping the God of the Hebrews.
Okay,
and I think historically you could make a point that basically on a biblical understanding of history. That's probably where the ancient Chaldeans had the number seven, because they were a six-day system basically
okay.
there, but
oh.
they had to adopt some, and so maybe reluctantly they started working on
looking for the seven
for their to fit the
yeah. And Daniel's prophecy, the 70 times seven, 70 mm-hmm. Weeks of years or 77s of years was a key part of the prophecy he had.
But Babylon never adopted a seven-day week.
Okay.
We know that historically.
Okay.
And you don't get the seven-day week coming until you get to New Testament times and Rome.
Rome,
and that's where
yes.
Rome, it goes basically from Babylon collapses, but the Chaldeans and astrologers flee to Pergamum, and there Alexander the Great,
okay.
modern-day Turkey,
mm-hmm.
Alexander picks it up from there, the historical.
Alexander picked up a lot of things in his empire.
And finally, a drunken binge or whatever he died
picked
in.
Up too much. Okay,
yeah.
yes.
And finally, it got taken to Rome via, I believe it was Augustus Caesar. It was the one that first started a seven-day week, though it wasn't the continual
yeah.
one. And it goes to about around 300 A.D. is when you actually start really canonizing the weekly cycle as Christianity became the dominant religion of the Roman Empire and the Christian and the Hebrew origin of the week comes into play.
I remember a reference to a Roman letter that was written about the time of Christ, and the reference was to the Jews. And he said something like, the Jews keep Saturn's day holy. And
yeah.
it's interesting that Saturday coincides. Well, so the biblical response is, no, this is where it came from, the Bible.
You know what, Stan?
Yes.
I think we're
going
to have to go next week and finish this talk, because this is
we
the
don't have enough time.
Oh, where did the time go? 24/7.
24/7.
So we want to invite you, my friend, to tune in again
to part two.
Part two of the weekly cycle in Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.